Minnesota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
Yeah, I'm really proud of them. In our little pregame huddle, I kind of just was like, we've prepped all year for this moment, and I believe in each and every single one of you. We've put in the work, and now it's time for us to go out and shine and just do what we do. They were all really excited to play, and, you know, we wanted to put that sticker on the board, and that's what we did, so I'm proud of them.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Who are you calling, pal? That is Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show, April Fool's Day. That's it for us. We're done. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow on a Wolves midweek installment of the show. No, I'm teasing. That's my best April Fool's Day prank. You know, this is a weird day, I guess, to work in media, because you see all sorts of things on social media. You take it with a grain of salt, and you're like, whoa, what a crazy trade. No way. I didn't see that coming. Next thing you know, April Fool's Day prank for sure. What say you, McClure? How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Doing well. I mean, don't you just hate April Fool's Day to a certain degree?
For that perspective that you just talked about, yes, I saw a Shohei Ohtani versus Aaron Judge trade. I'm like, oh, it got me for a split second. I'm like, oh, wait, it's April Fool's Day. And then I made a joke on the air, enjoy the sun today. They were like, I was like, laughed at my own joke. Like, that was pretty bad.
Like a big slug.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. I love laughing at my own jokes, because I know this may be hard for some people to believe, but I really don't take myself too seriously. You know, I'm pretty self-deprecating, and I think when you break out a joke like that, you got to hit this sounder, you know? Just, come on. Seriously? Really? I know. It is April 1st, but Mother Nature is, she's fooling us with an April Fool's Day prank of her own with a little bit of snowfall. But the good news is, depending on who you ask, we really are not seeing as much snowfall as once anticipated, because yesterday morning, they're talking 2 to 4 today, I think it was 1 to 3 today, 2 to 4 tonight, and then 3 to 5 tomorrow. Now, they've certainly walked that back quite a bit. Maybe the meteorologists are fooling us a little bit.
they could be fooling us, is exactly right. I said it yesterday. I think it's going to be more rain than snow. It's that wet stuff out there, though, which is not very fun. Let's just say that.
Yeah, a lot of slush.
Yeah.
A lot of slush dealing with that. Saw fog snow was also in the forecast as well earlier on this morning. So kind of interesting how that's all kind of come to be. Of course, we mentioned it yesterday on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, that the Aberdeen Central softball matchup today in the capital city with Pierre, that's been postponed to a later date. And, of course, Aberdeen Central, their tennis action for today, that's also been postponed to a later date, specifically May the 5th, there for tennis action. So a lot of action here in the Hub City and surrounding areas will not go down here today. Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly, coming up towards the back half of the show. Nikolai Tishkovich will be visiting with us, or not with us, but with the host there as well for your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly. Again, that's towards the bottom of the hour. And, of course, we'll also have Ryan Deal. He'll be joining us in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the show. It's kind of like a Wilbur week, to be honest with you. I mean, yesterday we were live there at the presser, and he'll be joining us tomorrow. And Ryan Deal, of course, covered a lot of those Dakota Wesleyan squads, so he'll give us the insight. I think we know a thing or two about Coach Wilbur, but I think he knows probably a lot more than we do. So Ryan Deal, he'll be joining us here in 10 minutes.
Yeah, he'll be able to tell us a little bit more than he won 70% of his games, and he coached the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA. So looking forward to that discussion there with Deal.
And maybe we'll talk about the Class B tournament as well. He joined us on the show, what was that, 2 weeks ago, give or take? And a fun visit with him, as always. He's Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Toss this thing skyward here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. That's what's on tap today. On tap tomorrow, it's a Wolves midweek. Looking forward to that. Speaking of Coach Wilbur, he'll join us live in studio tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation with him on your Wednesday. So if you are looking to hear, you know, a five-minute discussion, a 10-minute discussion, well, you're going to be in the wrong spot because we'll have him on for a couple segments tomorrow. Looking forward to that on FSA. But indeed, it is April Fool's Day, and we are getting closer and closer to one of my personal favorite sporting events of the year. That, of course, would be the Masters. Mm-hmm. Masters is, of course, not this week, but next week. Looking forward to that. And Tiger Woods, this morning, he tweeted out, "I can't believe I'm going to say this, but a few weeks ago, after rupturing my left Achilles, sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, plus the explosive lifts, my doctors and trainers have had me ready to go for Masters week next week. I can't wait. I'll see y'all on the course." And, of course, about 10-15 minutes later, he quote-tweeted his own tweet and said, "P.S. April Fools, my Achilles is still a mess," which is really a bummer because without Tiger Woods for the Masters, it loses the juice. It's still a great event. It's still fantastic. You're going to have your Rory McIlroys, your Bryson DeChambeaus, and Jordan Spieths and everybody else. But no Tiger Woods. It's tough not to see him there on Sunday in that red shirt, you know?
Yeah, it really is. I wish he just kept on with that joke, though, so you could have people saying, maybe it all went well. Maybe he will play. Wish he didn't quote tweeted it. That would have been pretty funny. But I'm 100% with you there, too. The Masters with Tiger on Sunday, especially, he could be way out of the race. He could be 15 over par, be out of the thing, and I'd be into it because he's playing on Sunday. Now, that's the thing with Tiger here in these tournaments that he has played. He can't get to Sunday. He either misses the cut or he's got to withdraw because he can't walk the course. That's the problem with Tiger. It's not a swing thing. It's not a short game thing. He could still hit the ball. It's walking 18 holes four straight days. He can't do that anymore. If he was on a golf cart, he'd probably be able. Have you ever seen those videos of John Daly on the golf carts?
Oh, have I ever?
Yeah. Like, if he was able to do that, he probably could play in more tournaments. Now, obviously, with the Achilles injury, he was out. But I'm just talking in general here as of late that he can't play four straight days because he can't walk 18 holes back-to-back-to-back days.
Remember when Byron Leftwich blew out his knee when he was at Marshall and he had his two offensive linemen carry him up the field? Mm-hmm. What do we got to do to get a couple of caddies carry him from hole to hole? You know? Can we kind of skirt the system here a little bit? How great would that be?
He hopped on the caddy for a piggyback ride.
Yeah. Why not?
Hey, you have to hire a couple people for that.
No doubt about it. So good stuff
you
there.
Like, tag. Hey, it's your turn now.
Yeah.
Like, you just have like a group.
You got him
like
on the back nine.
Yeah, you got like a group of four people just like tagging. Hey, I'm tired. My back hurts. You give it a try now.
Dude, I would be all in on that. Some schlub from Aberdeen to carry Tiger Woods on the back nine. I don't know how far I'd get him, but I'd fall on that sword. No two ways about it. So one more as it pertains to April Fool's Day. Got to give a shout out to QB1 here at Northern State University, Daniel Britt. He sent out a tweet this morning with him on a knee, of course, saying his pregame prayer there before kickoff with the title of "Thank You, Northern," and a little link behind that, or actually right below that. And more often than not, when you see these sorts of things, it's, of course, with that being said season. But if you click on the link, it goes to the Jordan Belfort, "I'm not leaving," from Leo DiCaprio and The Wolf of Wall Street.
I appreciate that. That's a good one from Daniel Britt for April Fool's.
Gotta love that. Good stuff there from QB1. Also, we've talked about the Minnesota Twins. They're not off to a good start. Yesterday, I was a little concerned because, A, you lose the game, B, you get shellacked in the game, and C, you wove the white flag really early in the game. Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa both out of the game in the fourth inning. Fourth inning of game number four? I mean, I get it, you're down big, but it's not over yet. You still got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe even some extra innings if you get things going right. I mean, you want to talk about waving the white flag early. I hate to go full ESPN here, but the panic button is getting pretty, pretty close for yours truly if I'm a Twins fan.
I think it is. You got two hits in the game there yesterday, and I saw that as well yesterday that they were just emptying out the bench. And again, this isn't game 110 here. This isn't some random game in July, like July 23rd. This is the fourth game of the season. You got to think that the team and the players are engaged. And we talked a little bit about it towards the end of the season last year. if Rocco Baldelli is going to come back or not. I mean, this isn't a good start for him. He could, if this continues, will we see him on the in the dugout here moving forward? That's something that I'm paying attention to. Now, obviously, long season, but I haven't liked what we've seen from anything. Hitting, pitching, two hits against the White Sox. It's unbelievable. And not only that, like you said, you're waving the white flag in the fourth inning against the White Sox team. Yes, they've had a nice start to the season pitching-wise, but you're telling me you can't get a couple hits and maybe make it interesting?
I'm right there with you, and I got to go back to yesterday's show because you said it, and I think you're like 95% there about pitching and hitting and everything else that's really struggled. Joe Ryan actually pitched pretty well over the weekend. He had five innings strong. He surrendered one run, struck out five, I think zero walks or maybe one, and they pulled him. He had 80 pitches in the game. So the one good pitching performance you've had, you pull him early.
Yes.
And it's just like he's mowing guys down. You're down 1-0. Let's go to the bullpen. It's like, why are you pulling him this early in the game?
And Rocco's a big analytics guy. Yeah. He's one of the big analytics guys in Major League Baseball, so that doesn't surprise me at all. But I'm with you on that. I said it yesterday, if you can't hit and you can't score, you lose. Yeah. And that's what the Twins have problems with right now. And you know, you were chuckling when I said this is a big series for the Twins, and why I said that was because you can't lose games to the White Sox if you want to compete in the division. If you go six, they talked about this on the broadcast. I listened in at like the ninth inning. They were all down. I get it. I completely understand.
I'd be down too.
They're like, if you go 6-7 against the White Sox in 13 games, I mean, that's the difference between maybe second and fourth place in the division.
Yeah, it's bad news bears right now. By the way, can you say that again if you don't hit? And you don't, what was that?
If you don't hit and you don't score runs, you lose.
That's it. It's so true. And they're off to such a bad start. I get it. It's early. To your point, it's early. But, man, you go 6-7 against probably one of the worst teams in, well.
On paper.
Yeah, on paper anyway. Maybe the White Sox go out and win 98 games this year. It's still early to tell. But, yeah, not a good start for our Twins. But they will look to turn things around. And you know, one of the guys that we've talked about is Woods Richardson and how good he was at times last year. Maybe he's going to be the guy to get Twins the first win this season tonight.
I'm just looking at this yesterday. 13 strikeouts, two hits. Ryan Jeffers and Willie Castro were the only guys who got hits yesterday. I mean, this is an embarrassing start for the Twins. I don't get it.
It's bad. It's bad, bad.
13 strikeouts.
More of the same from last year. You know, it's either boom or bust or strikeout looking, strikeout swinging. More often than not, they're strikeout swinging. And not good. Not good for the Twins as
The highest batting average. I mean, you got guys, the highest batting average is Willie Castro at .357. You got 200, 091, 071, 143, 200, 182. Buxton's hitting 077. Correa doesn't even have a hit yet. I know we're four games in, but it's not looking good, man.
It's not looking good at all. All right, things that are looking good, Ryan Deal. He'll be joining us coming up next. Sports Hub continues on FSA, 98.5 on the FM dial, and, of course, 1420 on the AM dial. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show. Matt Wilbur, he'll be joining us live in studio coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that discussion. But first and foremost, a guy that knows a thing or two about Matt Wilbur, covering a lot of those teams down south there in Mitchell over the last decade plus, is Ryan Deal. He joins us on the phone line, friend of the program. Mr. Deal, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It is our pleasure, of course, for sure. And every time we have you on the program,
hello!
Drop in one of those. Mr. Seinfeld himself. As Ryan, of course, we're going to talk about Matt Wilbur here quite a bit, certainly. But had the Class B tournament wrap up here, not last week, but the week prior. What did you make of the tournament? A lot of fun, certainly, there. And Castlewood picks up the crown. And Paul Roche, of course, the first-time state champion for him in 39 years. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really the headline there. Everybody knows Paul Roche's story when it comes to basketball. You know, over 600 wins, one of only four coaches in boys basketball history to get over 600 wins, but just hasn't been able to win that state championship. And obviously was able to finally get one there against Byron Curley in the championship. So good for Paul, good for the Warriors to win a state championship.
For sure. And we talked to him, I think, that Monday after, and we asked him, hey, what was it like climbing the ladder? Were you scared at all climbing the ladder to cut the net? He's like, nah, I've been a painter. So that didn't bother me at all. I thought that was a pretty neat nugget, too, when he added that to the discussion there last Monday.
Yeah, and it was just cool to see. It's always cool for us in the media to stick around, and, you know, we're still finishing up our job there at the Barnett Center, and it's fun to see some of that stuff that kind of behind the scenes, so to say, when you see a coach like that climb the ladder and cut down the nets and what it meant to him and the community. So very cool moment for Paul Roche.
No question about it. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Our guest is Ryan Deal on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But we're here to talk a little bit more about Matt Wilbur. I kind of joked earlier, this is sort of like Wilbur week. We had him on the airwaves yesterday with the intro press conference. And you sent me a text message yesterday saying, I am watching, I'm listening in. And you said, I think he's going to do some great things at Northern State. I think, just judging from everything that I see on social media, everyone is in agreement. This is a real dynamic and a home run hire for the Wolves.
Absolutely, and I'm right in that boat with people saying that. I even tweeted when they made the hire that it was a home run hire. I've been able to follow Coach Wilbur's teams, you know, cover them when I work for the Mitchell Daily Republic. You know, still living in Mitchell, I would you know, run into him quite a bit at you know, different events. And just first and foremost, just a genuine person. He's just a fun person to be around, and I know you guys were at the press conference and got a glimpse of that, of his personality. I don't know if I've ever seen too many coaches that can control a room quite like him. When I watched his press conference, you know, whenever you watch press conferences of coaches, you always see them kind of like having a sheet of paper and like have bulletin points that they want to talk about. And you didn't see that yesterday with Coach Wilbur. I mean, what you saw is what you got. I mean, he's so good at just speaking in front of people and just. And that's what you saw yesterday is what you're going to get with Coach Wilbur. Just a genuine person and certainly a fun personality to be around.
Yeah, and you know, I completely agree with you. That's kind of the sense I got from that press conference there yesterday. And you know, we've had a couple people talk about what he's been able to accomplish, and a lot of people talk about what a great recruiter this guy is. He's going to bring in talent. And I know he talked about yesterday, like, we're going to focus on South Dakota, but then work their way out with the portal and whatever else. But this guy's a big-time recruiter from the sounds of it, just from hearing folks talking about it, him talking about it a little bit there yesterday.
Absolutely. And, you know, whenever he was at Dakota Wesleyan, he always landed a few players that I think, let's be honest, and Coach Wilbur would agree with this. He would land some players that probably could have been playing at a higher level. You know, Ty Hoagland is a name that comes to mind that certainly could have been playing, you know, at the Division II, maybe even higher than that. Mason Larson, close by, you know, Langford, a name you guys are familiar with. I definitely feel he could have been a Division II type player. And there were certainly some players that were even Division II and they dropped down to the NAIA level. So, yes, he's absolutely a fantastic recruiter. He will recruit the local kids first. I know he's already got some offers to some 2026 kids. So he's certainly going to recruit the South Dakota kids, and he's well known around the state, around the area, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, certainly a great recruiter, and it's going to be fun to see some of the players that he's going to go after and ultimately will become Wolves.
Ryan Deal joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Ryan Deal, of course, of 605 Sports. You can follow him there on social media as well. And, you know, you talk about players he's already reached out to, Blake Elwine, Marvin Richard III. I mean, some of those guys that can really fill it up and have great opportunities to play at the next level. So covering him for years like you have, is there a certain sort of, I guess, for lack of a better term, identity that you can tell that Coach Wilbur teams have as opposed to maybe just a regular run-of-the-mill team?
You know, this is going to be kind of a cliche answer, but he really adapts to his personnel. When he first got to Dakota Wesleyan, I mean, he had some dudes, like some All-American type dudes, and they were so balanced and just had a lot of offensive weapons on that team whenever he first got there. You know, that was the second year he was at Dakota Wesleyan is when they made the run to the national championship and finished as runner-ups. But they were highly efficient offensively, led the led the nation in like assist to turnover ratio. But then you fast forward and he had a player that came in by the name of Ty Hoagland, and Ty Hoagland finished as one of the all-time leading scorers in South Dakota college basketball history. And his offense was kind of more revolved around him. But my favorite story to kind of answer that question is to him adapting to his personnel was Ty Hoagland's senior year. Ty missed a couple games with a foot injury, and it was kind of later in the season and some other players weren't available for kind of various reasons. So they trotted out a lineup against Dort at the Corn Palace of 6'4", 6'7", 6'5", 6'7", and 6'8". And those players were not point guards. They were not shooting guards. They were all small forwards, power forwards, and centers. And they ended up winning that game against Dort by 1 point. And it was just a memorable game because, again, they just had such an unconventional lineup with no guards and just a bunch of bigs. And they somehow got it done. So Coach Wilbur can adapt on the fly when it comes to personnel. So that's just kind of a fun little anecdote as far as some of the players that he's had in the past and adapting to his personnel.
And just from hearing that story there, Ryan, it sounds like, and he talked a little bit about this yesterday, the buy-in. Like, here's a guy that can get players to buy in to doing what we want to accomplish. Like you mentioned it, no point guard. You got 6'7", 6'5", whatever it was, and you were still able to find a way. So it sounds to me, and from hearing him yesterday, that you got to have buy-in from your players. He gets that from his players. Can you just speak on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, I've seen some of that stuff firsthand. I was always fortunate he let me go to practices when I covered them. You know, I wanted to do a story or whatever, and I'd say, hey, can I stop in for an interview, you know, for a player here and there. And I saw some of that stuff firsthand as far as some of that stuff you're talking about and some of the stuff he talked about yesterday at his press conference. I mean, he really challenged his players. I mean, he really got the best. He gets the best out of his players. I mean, he really challenges them. You know, he finds out who wants to be there, and he's going to find out, you know, who wants to be a Wolf and who wants to be a part of all of that stuff. And certainly the buy-in is, like you said, a big thing with him. And it's going to be fun to see this play out as far as who he's going to get up there to really be a part of that thing.
A couple more here with Ryan Deal on FSA. And I asked him a question about what are some of the prerequisites of players that he wants to have. And the one word that jumped off the page to me in his response was competing and competition. I mean, I think it's fair to say there were games last year on the northern side of things. They were competing hard. They just weren't getting the results. But sometimes towards the end of the season, you know, you can kind of see, man, this long losing streak just continues and continues. I just get a sense that competing is going to be something that a cornerstone of this program is going to be based on in the not too distant future. I feel like that's one thing that for a successful program to be successful, you had to have that kind of that baseline.
And it's going to start with him yesterday in his press conference, how he said, you won't find a more competitive person than himself. And of course he kind of backed up a little bit and said, you know, he was able to coach Diana Taurasi. And then he said, there's another level of competitiveness, but that competition is going to start with him. Coach Wilbur, you know, he played amateur baseball for a number of years. He played amateur basketball for a number of years. And obviously before that he was playing, you know, college athletics and everything. So that competition is certainly going to start with him. It's going to restart on the recruiting trail. I know he's already, obviously, like we talked about, gotten some offers out there, and he's going to be really aggressive with recruiting. So we always hear, you know, a team takes on, you know, kind of the identity of their coach. And that competition is going to start with him, because he is a very competitive, a very fiery person. And he's going to bring a lot of that juice back to the Wolves.
And do you feel like you got to be patient? I mean, we've heard that a couple times. We had Dave in here last Friday. He said, hey, you got to be patient. But, you know, Tukes mentioned it, a long losing streak last year. You were 2-18. You know, obviously it's going to be – you want it to be better than it was last year, and you got to see what happens there with that. But how patient do you think you got to be?
Well, the good news is, I mean, there's really only one place to go now with that program, and that's up. You know, two wins last year, it's tough for me to predict the future. Obviously, I guess nobody can, but I just don't see two wins in the upcoming season for the Wolves. It's going to be interesting to see how he reshapes that roster, because again, I mean, he's a competitive coach. I mean, he's gonna be aggressive. And I know it's late in the process for some of this stuff, as far as, you know, high school seniors have already been committed and signed and all that stuff. But, you know, the portal, That's obviously, you know, changed the landscape of college athletics, and he's certainly going to be aggressive, and he's going to do his best to bring a competitive roster in for next season. And again, he's such a competitive, fiery coach, and two wins. I just don't envision in two wins for the Wolves next year, because Coach Wilbur is going to do his best to get that thing turned around.
Well, he also mentioned his assistant coaches and the new staff that's going to be here. Nothing announced as of yet. Let's see if we can break some news here on the show. Matt's 1-1 as a coach. I know you've won some games as an all-star game coach. So what do you think? You guys maybe joining Wilbs there on the sideline or something like that for assistance?
That would be great. But I think I'll just stick to my coaching two games every year at the White River all-star game. I'm undefeated, so I don't want to get too big of an ego, I guess.
Wow, undefeated. Boy.
Are you coaching that this year as well?
I believe so, yeah. I haven't heard anything official, but we've kind of been talking about it here and there, but so I'm sure I'll be coaching in that All-Star game again.
All right, good. We're going to keep our eyes posted now. We don't want to keep that. We want to give you guys the pub out there. You got to get another 2-0 stretch under your belt there.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, Ryan, appreciate you doing this, and have a great day. Be careful out there. I know the road condition's a little bit slick. Appreciate you being a part of the program here today, and as always.
Absolutely, and just real quick, I'm just Northern States is a program that I continue to follow. I went to Northern camps as a kid growing up, cover the Wolves. And when I heard Coach Wilbur's name being floated around for that position when I was up at the State Bees, I just couldn't be more excited, because I knew that would be such a home run hire. And I'm really glad that he's in that position, and I know good things are on the horizon for the Wolves.
Right there with you. Follow him there on X at @RyanDeal_605, and of course 605 Sports there as well. Again, appreciate you doing this, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure, after a 2-0 trip there in the All-Star game.
Yep, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. That's Ryan Deal, friend of the program here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I mean, I don't know if expectations are the right word, but for lack of a better term, expectations of just positivity and feeling good and all that good stuff, it's been a little bit since Northern basketball has kind of felt good about things. Again, just 10 wins 2 years ago, two last year.
Yeah, 12 wins.
12 wins in 2 years. I think it's time to start feeling good again, you know?
Yeah, and how many times have we heard home run hire?
A lot.
I mean, like you mentioned it on Friday, just the positivity. You know, sometimes you'll get some negative. I haven't seen any negative. I just think it's a big-time hire. The guy knows how to win. And, you know, he talked a lot about the competitiveness that you talked about and the buy-in. And that's what you need. You know, college basketball is, and he talked a little bit about it, is a lot about the players. And you got to have, you know, a group that plays together, A, and you got to have some guys that, you know, I hate to say it, in college basketball, you got to have guys that can score. I mean, let's be real. You got to have guys that can take you there. And you know how I feel about that. And he's going to get that kind of talent here. And, man, it's going to be, you know, fun kind of seeing that kind of grow, the roster grow, who comes in. And I mean, we got a long off season here, but can't wait for basketball.
Diana Taurasi is probably going to be on the back nine of her career, right? If she's not done already, assistant coach in Aberdeen. How cool would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's got to be close to retiring, if not already.
Yeah.
I think
so, too. She's kind of well.
Let's see. My guess is she's in her 40s.
Yeah, either that or very late 30s.
Let's see.
Would be my guess. You look that up in the break. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll wrap up the show. Plus, don't forget your Wings Weekly. Our thanks to Ryan Deal for joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Of course, you can follow us on X or Twitter if you still want to call it that. Whatever floats your boat. Fox Sports, 1420 AM at @_Cobra66. And at David Tewksbury for yours truly. The Dewey Donut Classic was held yesterday with Aberdeen Central, GPL, Ipswich, and others. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details there. Again, the White Sox, they downed the Twins yesterday. They laughed past them 9-0. Class AA, A, and B, all state teams for high school boys basketball. That's officially been announced. Lots of local and regional talent there. Check out HubCityRadio.com for full and complete details. And as mentioned earlier, Aberdeen Central against Pierre. High school softball, that's been postponed because of the weather in the capital city. Central v. Milbank for high school boys tennis, postponed until May the 5th. We're back at it tomorrow. We've got ourselves a Wolves midweek installment of the show. Head coach Matt Wilbur, he'll join us live in studio tomorrow. Your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly is...
This week, Nikolai Tishkovic is joining me, the forward from Minsk, Belarus. Now, you have been on the show quite a few times in your 3 years being here, and we've also mic'd you up, so we know how you've gotten into hockey, but explain to us, what is it about hockey that has kept you in the sport for so long and keeps you going in it?
Just, you know, fun time on the ice, fun time off the ice in the locker room, and that's the reason I wake up early in the morning to come here at the rink and just have fun, you know. It's because by the end of the day, like, yeah, as a kid, I started it because I just like the sport, and it's sometimes it's hard to have fun, and sometimes, yeah, I feel like I'm losing this feeling, but those days usually comes by quick, and back on track, back on having fun.
Mm-hmm. And fun fact for everybody, you are the first one to show up.
Yeah.
Every morning.
This year, yes, because... I have my, I mean, not my own, but like my billets, they give me vehicle and same. Shout out to them. But last 2 years, I was running with my roommate, Jackson Anderson, and he doesn't really like to be first in the ring, so this year.
This year too, you had a bit of a college experience, then came back to us in December, but what some people might not know is that you're still getting a little bit of your college experience while playing here with the Wings. What has it been like for you to still be able to balance that college life and taking college courses while still playing hockey? Like, how are you able to still balance it all?
Yeah, first of all, go Wolves. Here we go.
Because you're taking classes at Northern.
Yeah, I'm a full-time student basically here in Northern, and it's pretty fun, you know. It's a great, I don't want to say work-life balance, but kind of hockey and studying balance, hockey and like on ice life, off ice life balance, and you know, it just keeps me up, like, how do I say it, just keeps me makes me what do I want to say
keeps you on track in
a
way, right?
Yeah. Keeps me on track. Yeah, here we go. Keeps me on track, because after bad weekend or bad game or bad practice, I still gotta get my homework done.
Yeah.
I still gotta show up to class, and it keeps me on track. And I don't have enough time to focus on some bad moments in my life, because I just gotta get my homework done, gotta write an essay, gotta prepare for an exam or something. So, yeah.
And I know you're taking just a few like general courses, because technically you are in your freshman year and stuff like that. But have you found, is there anything in particular that you do want to study or major in or anything like that?
So, yeah, I'm doing business. Mm-hmm. Like here in Northern, I take a lot of general eds, but. I'm doing business, like major is business, and it's just fun, you know, business just easy. not that hard. It's like easier than
you can do a lot with it though.
Obviously, but because I take macroeconomics, so I can be an accountant.
There we go.
Over
the past few weekends, you had a pretty big moment. You surpassed your 100th NAHL point. And with the two goals that you scored this past weekend, you're now actually at 102 NAHL points. And with 53 goals in your repertoire, we should say, that puts you at second place for franchise all-time goals between Corey Ward and Riley Murphy. So you're within good company here in our all-time records here. And although there's still plenty to accomplish, do you feel like, you know, coming back and, you know, finishing, you know, what could have been your eligibility in junior hockey, do you feel like you have come back to accomplish something huge by doing so?
I don't know. You don't even think about that, like, on the daily.
Mm-hmm.
you're just kind of trying to go game by game. And yeah, I mean, it's I'm proud of that, and it's nice feeling, but I don't really think about that, to be honest. I'm just trying to play, trying to accomplish some team's goals. But yeah, it's okay, and it's good. It's great to be like somewhere there in top goal scorers, like 100 NHL points. Wow. Good luck with
someday
that.
Someday maybe.
Yeah. NHL points, but yeah, I mean, team goes first, and at this point, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here.
Maybe something that, you know, once the season kind of dies down and ends, you can probably space it too.
Yeah.
Obviously, since you've been on the show a little bit, we got to give you the hard-hitting questions, but also put you in the hot seat a little bit too. So, and I was actually in the players lounge this morning, and some of the players were giving me some of these questions for you. So
here we go.
If you were stuck on an island, this one actually Al gave me. So
if you Al? Were,
yeah.
Oh my God.
If you were stuck on an island, what teammate would you bring and why?
Teammate. Oh, Comfy, for sure. Me, Comfort? Are you kidding me? Oh, that's not even a question. Let me go around the locker room again. Oh, yeah. Comfy, Winkler, Great Hunter, Winky.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why Comfy?
He's going to engineering school.
He's
going to build
sport.
A house. I can hunt, it's okay. He'll build a house for us. And
okay.
Great. With Winky, it's opposite. He's going to hunt, and I'll try to build a house. But because I'm majoring in business, I'm probably going to buy a house or something. I'll start
he'll build
business.
It, you buy
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but Comfy, Winky, yeah, those guys.
Awesome. Like I said, all these questions were submitted by the players that were in the lounge. So
I see Cooper Anderson there. Not a good feeling about that question.
What is your honest opinion on Ando or Cooper Anderson?
That's what he asked?
Maybe.
Oh, I love that guy. He's a mini version of Jackson Anderson to me, because Jackson, my roommate, since my first year, and we roomed for like 2 years, and
something about kids with the Anderson last name.
Yeah,
you,
yeah, from Minnesota. So I was with those Minnesota high school hockey players with like Anderson last name. But no, I just love those two, and you know, Jackson is like my brother, my age brother, and Cooper is like my little brother. Gotta teach him a lot every practice. I'm try to teach him and like give him some hints and lessons, you know. I love seeing him getting better. Yeah. Come here, end of the last year, spend with me two months, maybe a little more, committed to Quinnipiac. So, yeah. If you want to get a D1, yeah. If you want to get a D1 commitment, you know.
He can thank you for that, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
He has to.
If you had to pick a teammate to be your emergency contact, who would it be?
It's kind of off the question. So when I get like insurance and all that, I got to put emergency contact, and it doesn't make sense to put someone from my family. And I don't really have like family here. I mean, I don't have family here. And my very first time, I didn't know who to put, and I put Coach Langer in there. And now I do.
I mean,
it makes sense,
right?
Yeah, because like he's the only person I know. So I was like, all right, I gotta put.
Did you at least ask him first?
No, I don't think he knows. It's okay.
Now he knows.
Now he knows. But let me think. Probably, yeah, Comfy or Bex or Ando. But I don't
he's
know.
He's younger than you.
Yeah, he's younger than me, so I can do Bex, Moxie, or. Yeah, or probably Comfy, because
Boxy's the same age as you now. So
yeah, he's 21, and but Boxy and Comfy, because we play for 3 years.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's just kind of obvious.
your story of seeing backs come in with a cage on and everything.
Yeah.
I always think back to that. That's so funny.
Yep.
Other than you, obviously, who do you think are some of the funniest teammates?
Oh my God. Yeah. That's those two, Ando and Briggs.
Yeah.
Cooper and Briggs. They're pretty funny.
That's a prime duo right there.
Yes. That's a prime duo. Who else is pretty funny? I like make jokes about Gavin Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's funny. I just like make fun of him. Who else? Let me. Yeah. Other than that, just all of the guys. Winky is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Jibber, but like.
Everyone's funny in their own way.
Yes,
right?
Yes. But Ando and Briggs, yeah, those two are just.
You get them going. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And finally, now that you've definitely spent some time here in the U.S., maybe your answer has changed, because I know that we've asked you this question on the show before, but your final meal, what is it going to look like? You know, your appetizer, your main entree. Are you going to have some little snacks? What are you going to wash it all down with?
So are we talking about like whatever, or what
it
would I order?
It could be anything.
Like whatever. Okay.
It could be literally anything.
So
pack it all in.
Start with drink. Usually they ask for drinks like right away. So I usually get water to start with a piece
Your
of lemon.
Your final meal is going to be water with lemon.
Yeah, that's start. So okay. I start with water, then appetizer. I like this crispy shrimps, you know, like shrimps, mm-hmm. Crispy. They usually name it crispy shrimps, mm-hmm. or something.
Like breaded shrimp.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's for appetizer. Then I'll get steak.
How are you going to cook it?
Medium.
Oh, okay.
Medium, yeah. Pretty obvious there. Steak with mashed potatoes and broccoli. Then, oh, and drinks. I'll get Coke with a piece of lemon in it. Yeah. Then dessert. I'll get, oh my God, I love this when they serve hot brownie with ice cream.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable. I'll get that. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So steak.
It's a pretty solid.
Steak, shrimp, some veggies, mashed potatoes. Yeah, and brownie with ice cream. That's just unreal.
Yeah. Do you think being in the US definitely changed your outlook on food?
I mean, yeah, it's something I would get anyways.
Yeah.
I love steaks, but I'm just trying to, if we're talking like US thing, I would get maybe I almost ate fish and chips, but it's like British thing. But like I've never had it before.
Yeah.
Like I got here, so fish and chips, I would get it.
Yeah.
I like it. Burger, I don't know. Yeah, burger, but it's like, it's not like it.
Because last year your joke was that all we had here was like chicken and rice.
Chicken and rice. Yeah, chicken and rice is more like pregame. And also, that's why I've changed my answer probably, because I've been eating chicken and rice like three, four times
all the time.
A week.
Yeah.
Three, four times a week.
It's just in different ways. Yeah.
Yep.
Moving on to kind of, you know, the games and everything, but also rejoining the team partway through the season, how do you think your role has changed this year compared to years in the past?
Change a lot, especially compared to my first year. Not rookie anymore. Don't have to do chores and all that, and don't have to vacuum the locker room. And it just, you know, just really nice to have other guys do that. But if we're talking about games and hockey, obviously it's take a leadership and be a leader on ice, off ice, be an example for guys. And yeah, it changes a lot, and especially after my college experience. Yeah, I can call it a college experience, but yeah, college experience, and just be a leader and lead the team, mm-hmm. in the right directions. If I can know what's right direction, but yeah, just be a leader and yeah, all nights, all fives. Yeah, it changed. It changed. And now I feel like we have more responsibility. Like, all the vets, especially with, like, playoff coming and with the guys who have playoff experience, we just got to show up and produce, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you specifically were able to get the scoring started both nights over the weekend against Watertown. What do you think that did for you and for the team over the weekend?
Yeah, as I said, for me, I mean, it's just a great start, especially Friday night. I was fortunate enough to score like first shift. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a great start, especially in a situation like right now when every game is basically a playoff game. We're fighting for a playoff spot. And when you start a game with a 1-0 lead, that's just great. And it gets the boys going. And I feel, it's just a great start. And obviously, you feel more confident, more comfortable when you go and score your first shift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just feel more loose. And yeah, just great feeling, you know. And as I say, it's kind of my role, and all the veterans, all the older guys, for all to be leaders and score those early in the game goals, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you kind of touched on this too, but with only 4 games remaining in the regular season, you know, what are your thoughts going into this weekend against Minot?
Oh, pretty confident. I mean, we're playing at home, and last time we played them, we won the weekend. So I don't want to say another day in the office because I was talking about having fun earlier. But yeah, just go there, play loose, have fun, be confident, and win the game on Friday, because we got to take game by game. So yeah, one game at a time, win game on Friday, get a good recovery, be ready for Saturday night. And we're playing at home, so that's, we got to be confident, and we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to win, yeah.
So then, do you think those are the keys to the game this weekend?
Yeah. If I would be coach, that would probably what I say to the boys. For a game.
Awesome. So like we were saying, upcoming games, next home games versus Minot Minotauros, Friday, April 4th, Thank a Farmer Night, presented by Agtegra and RDO Equipment. Wear your Agtegra gear and receive $2 off admission at the door. Saturday, April 5th, is College Night, presented by Wireless World. Present your college ID at the box office and receive an $8 general admission ticket. Tell all your friends at school.
actually, yeah, those one kid from my organization and management class, he was like, before an exam, he was like, oh, are you playing tonight? And I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, I'll be there. and then I scored. So it was kinda, today, he was like, oh, it was hell of a game on Friday. I was like, oh.
There
you go. Yeah, buddy.
Awesome. So College Night, presented by Wireless World and Crafted Interior, skate with the Wings after the game. Tickets available for all Wings home games at tickets.aberdeenwings.com or any of the Sea Express locations in Aberdeen. Sponsorships and reserve season tickets are now available for the 2025-2026 season. Call Aaron at 605-380-5852 for more information. And for all the latest news and information on the Wings, visit aberdeenwings.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Again, Nikolai Tishkovich, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And that'll wrap up this week's Wings Weekly.
And thank you very much. That about does it for us and our time together here today. Once again, a friendly reminder, the Aberdeen Wings are back at home this upcoming weekend at the Odie, taking on the Minot Minotauros. Playoff push continues. The Wings right now sitting 4 points ahead of that final spot for the Central Division, as they'll bring in the Minot Minotauros this upcoming Friday night and Saturday night. Cy Evanuk on the play-by-play on 94.1 The Rock and on NAHLTV.com. Let's give them a great atmosphere to play in this upcoming Friday and Saturday. If you want Wings tickets, we've got them for you at a discounted price. The best price for Aberdeen Wings tickets through us here at Hub City Radio. Give us a call, 605-229-3632. Once again, that phone number is 605-229-3632. We've got the cheapest price for Aberdeen Wings tickets here in town. It's interesting. A friend of mine came up to me a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about going to the Wings game. And I said, oh, did you get them through us here at Hub City Radio? And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she said, what's your price? And I told her, and she says, what? I paid X amount for those tickets elsewhere. And I said, yeah, don't ever do that again. Give us a call at Hub City Radio, 605-229-3632. Head coach Matt Wilbur, Northern State Men's Basketball, the new leader of the pack. He'll join us live in studio tomorrow, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a Wolves Midweek.